All right. Good morning, everyone. Dilly dilly. You know what that means? I confused my praise team with that one. Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday. But, yeah, we know who Jack's voting for, right? Anybody got an idea who Jack wants to win today?
Brought right, well. His onesie last week. We know who.
Well, every day in God's house is Super Sunday, right? All right, let's stand on up. In heaven, sing it out. Hallowed it be thy name. Come and let your glory come and let your glory fall. Our Father who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your name. Come and let your glory come and let your glory fall. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name on earth as it is in heaven. God give us new every morning. Mercy is daily bread. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. And lead us not to temptation. Deliver us with your hand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. Father, we pray. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom is yours and the power is yours and the glory forever. Amen. Yeah, the kingdom is yours and the power is yours and the glory forever. Amen. Yeah, the kingdom is yours and the power is yours and the glory forever. Amen. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim mercy of your name on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed it be thy name.
This is my prayer in the desert when all that's within shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, so firm on His promise I'll stand. And I will bring praise.
If you have a reason, let's hear it.
All of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship.
One more time, stand up.
And I will bring praise. I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here.
Name it is the name of Jesus. wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no
Jesus. Thank you for that. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and forever, and that you have given us your name. So God, today, as we are in the beginning, a few days in, of our season of prayer and fasting for these 14 days, God, just reveal yourself to us and let us recognize whatever we face in life, that we have the most powerful name, the most wonderful name, the most beautiful name. His name is Jesus. And so God, as we open up this short two-week series on prayer, God, just teach us to pray and help us just embrace that. For this, these and all things, God, we just give you praise in your name. And everybody says, amen. All right, our children are going to our shoreline. I believe, I forgot to mention, but I believe our middle school kids already went. And then everybody else, say hi to somebody here. All right, everyone, welcome. Welcome to Haven Community Church. How you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Good.
All right, there we go. All right, great to see everyone here today. If you're visiting, thank you, Keith. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We're glad to cheer. If you're visiting online, part of our Church Online, we welcome you guys. Everybody, let's welcome Church Online.
Hi.
Look at the person next to you, say, hey.
Hey.
Look at the other person, your second choice, and say, what's up?
All right, there we go. Okay. So we're glad that you're here. Again, hopefully if you're a visitor, you received a card. If you're online, church, just send us a note, a message online, and just tell us that you're watching. And we're glad that you're with us. Youth group is canceled tonight. They will be deep in prayer for the Eagles. We want them to pray. Haven's Dining for Women Mardi Gras Party will be Wednesday, February 21st. It's a time again for our Mardi Gras party. Judy, I think, is reaching the end part of her illness. Is that right? Okay, I don't know. She's your mom. Yeah. All right. She's doing well, so be praying for her. If you have any information, any questions, you can give her a call. Save the date. You got this in as an insert. March the 18th at 12 p.m. When we are done here, we will be celebrating our 10th anniversary. We are a decade old at Haven now, officially, but we want to have a celebration after church. We will be at the Northeast Fire Hall, and we just need to know who's planning on coming, adults and everyone else. If you want to fill this out now, you go ahead and fill that out. You can drop it in the plate, and we'll make sure we get that. If you forget, you can hand it to an usher or someone at the end of church, and we'll make sure you get that there. If you want to come in and you're online, just send us an email, and we'll go ahead and connect with you there. But we're excited about that, celebrating 10 years of ministry and just some incredible things that are happening. You can also see, mission trip update after church today. Where are we meeting, John? Right up by the cross. Good place to meet. Right by the cross, about the mission trip to Haiti in August. If you're interested in information or other things about that, please just meet right up here after church. It'll be a great time to connect together. Okay? You also have support for Miriam's Table, which it was so great last year when Susie Kiefer and Miriam, and what's her husband's name? Ed. Susie and Ed Kiefer came. And are they going to be here next? Is it next week or? The 18th. So we're looking forward to them being here with us for a bit. But we're just really excited about just the missions that we do at this church and support with people. So they will be here. So please go ahead and look about this in the Congo if you want to check. We'll have bread banks. They are out there now. We used to call them love loaves. Anybody old enough to remember love loaves? Okay. But we will do the bread banks. You can take those out there at the table. They need to be returned by the 4th of March. And you just fill them with change, checks, I don't know, your work check, I don't know, whatever you want to put in there. It can all go. You guys were awesome last year in helping them, and they were moved. And we know that this church is a giving church, and we are so grateful to God because of that. So we want you to make sure that you connect with that as well. And then the emergency rotating shelter update. You can see there volunteers who help provide different things. Joanne, anything else we need to know? Okay. All right. If you want to be a volunteer for that, please go ahead and contact Joanne. If you can't find the information and you want to go ahead, just contact us at info@havencc.org, and we will make sure you get in touch with her. And then Parish Foundation, the 18th. How we doing, Mike?
There's going to be opportunity. All right. Also, a fundraiser for the Parish Foundation,
I think it's March 24th at Elk Moose Lodge. Okay. So there's a fundraiser at Elk Moose Lodge on the, I believe, the 24th. For Parish Foundation, and if you want to serve, you have opportunities on the 18th our next time at Parish Foundation. There's a few more opportunities if you want to serve and help out there. All right? Couple prayers. We want to lift up prayers for Jamie for safe travel, for Stephen and Stephen Jr. as they go to Daytona this week. All right? So we want to lift up prayers for them. Also, prayers for Kitty Comer, who's here, and her family in the passing of her mother, and we had her funeral celebration in life. And also, Chris is with us today, and a week ago, Daryl went on to be with the Lord after a long, long battle, and we celebrated his life on Thursday. He was a great man and really touched so many lives, and we want to continue to have our prayers with Chris King and Daryl and the whole entire family, and we know that heaven got a little bit more fun and with Daryl up there this week. Someone else sent me a prayer request. I got to look it up right here because someone sent it to me right before church. I want to make sure we get that down. And I'm sorry, please stand by. When I was a kid and they used to say, please stand by, I used to go stand by the television. If you don't believe me, ask Jill. She'll tell you I did. Let me see here. Someone sent it to me today. Carol asked for prayers for the Carducci family who tragically lost their 17-year-old son, Daniel, on the 31st. So we want to lift them up in prayers, all right? In the midst of everything, there seems to be loss, a lot of loss today, and we want to lift people up in prayers for that. Okay? Any other prayer requests that we need? Yes, Rachel. Okay, Jordan, her son-in-law, started what we believe and we hope and pray is his last round of chemotherapy. So we want to pray for that. I got it, Lisa. It's okay. Go ahead. Okay. All right. So Laura would disagree with you in the back, the lone Patriot fan here, but we'll forgive her. We're going to talk about forgiveness today, Laura, so it's okay. But definitely want to lift up seriously Sarah in her chemotherapy treatment. Go ahead, Donna. Yes. Flu, right? Okay. Okay. All right. So Bobby Burke's mother fell but also has the flu, so we want to lift her in prayers. Dale. Aunt who? Ann is in ICU, so we want to continue with prayers for her and also for your sister, Betty. We want to lift her in prayers. Yes, Joanne. Yes. Yes, Beverly Lewis was a pastor friend of mine, and she was a nurse for many, many years, and she was literally one of the sweetest ladies I ever knew. Anybody in the Emmaus community may have known her. She is an awesome, awesome, incredible lady, and you know, heaven's getting a lot of fun people this week, I can tell you that. So,
prayers for your family if the Eagles lose.
It's not going to happen, Lisa. She said, "If prayers for my family if the Eagles lose." Not going
to
happen. Lisa, zip your mouth. Okay, there we go. Need to do what God did with the lions. Okay, here we go. What else? Anybody else? I've got other jokes, but I'm not going to use them. All right, let's go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we just thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence. Thank you that, that no matter what goes on in life, wherever we go, wherever we are, your Spirit just surrounds us. You love us. And you love us so much that you sent your Son. And so, God, we have so many prayer requests and so many needs. We have those who have lost people who were spouses and parents and children. And, God, sometimes we just don't know what to do in these times. But the scripture reminds us that if I ascend to the heavens or I am down in the valleys, that you are there. And so, God, just be with us today. Help us just to feel your presence in a new way. God, I know many of us, I want to pray right now off the bat for many of us who are doing some type of fasting in this 14 days. For those of us who have done the stuff fast and feel more disconnected than we ever have, feel like we're missing out on some things, may you just fill that with your presence and your knowledge and your wisdom. For those of us who are doing something with food, God, just, you know, we can't live by bread alone, but sometimes it would feel good to eat something. But God, may we live on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God, just whatever you have for this church, I just ask for your presence to be here. For you have blessed us so much. I want to ask for a special blessing over the missions that we provide and our sister church in Haiti, and for Ed and Susie Kiefer with Miriam's Table and the rotating shelter. God, there are so many needs. And you have blessed all of us in incredible ways. And so, Lord, right now, as we meet as your people and we take this time to give back to you, may you anoint our gifts and our tithes, your tithes, through your Holy Spirit, not so that they can stay here and we can build kingdoms for our own name and have our own logo and other kinds of stuff on it. God, this isn't about us. It's about yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power and yours is the glory forever and ever. And God, as we pray that, may we also live it. So at this point, God, as you receive these gifts and tithes, use them for your kingdom, your glory, forever and ever, amen. And all God's people said, Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
All right, I'm ready for an underdog sermon. All right, forget it. I can't even see in that thing. I don't know how they do. All right. All right, let me move this out of the way. Okay, now back to the serious from the ridiculous. Okay. How's everybody doing today? Having a good week? Pete, you want to wear that throughout the whole sermon? It stinks. I'll tell you, it does stink. All right, so today, I know we have many people in our church who we've talked about doing 14 days of prayer and fasting. We've provided several different ways. Some of you have decided to do the Daniel fast, and we also put some extra materials on for that. You're into the fruits and vegetables and all kinds of things like that. Others are doing a Jewish fast, where you can eat before sunup and after sundown. You're doing that. A couple other ones. We have some other ones. We talked about stuff fast, some other ones that we have there. So there's a lot of different things going on. The main thing that we want to talk about, though, is if we are fasting without prayer, we are basically just dieting. Okay? That's what it's about. And then the goal becomes, well, maybe I can lose some weight in this process. And that's not what it's about. That may be a good product, a byproduct of it. I know some are doing the complete juice fast, and hey, rock it out. You guys are going as well there as well. So we have a lot, we have four different ones that we provided, and there's so many other ways, but it's about the heart, and it's about connecting to God in a special way. It's interesting how when we pray and fast, that things come to the forefront of life and in the midst of our lives. So as we are in this prayer and fasting time, I wanted to go ahead and while we're fasting and providing some reasons of that, I wanted to go ahead and talk about prayer for 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, we're going to talk about prayer. And I want to, you know, many of us, we're going to look at this. You know, some of us are not really comfortable about praying. It's amazing how many people in the body of Christ and Christians are really not comfortable with prayer. And so we want to go ahead and get you comfortable with prayer. We want to let you know how to pray. We want to focus on that. And so there's some things that we need to learn to do. And I'm going to just say this right off the bat. One of the things that we need to do is we need to go ahead and pray first. We need to go ahead and have pray first. First, we need to, like, get out of bed before we even get out of bed. Sometimes just throw up that prayer. God, you know, thank you for just, like, making me not nasty today, and may it stay that way the whole day when I get out of bed today. Some of us are like that. We may need to do it before bedtime, or before we eat, or before you go into a meeting at work, or before you have a client that's coming in. You say, wait, hold on to him. God, I just pray that this is going to have your will, and I'll make lots of money. Hallelujah. Let's go. So we need to pray for different things, or when your kids are headed out the door, pray for them. Or in every situation, we want to embrace praying first. We went through our series before, Creatures of Habit, and we wanted to say that we want to put God first. And part of those was our first 15 that we talked about. Maybe before you type out that email and you get ready to send it off, you pray before you send it. A lot of us need to learn how, before we send that text or before we send that email, to pray before we say it, right? Anybody ever send an email or a text that you wish you had prayed about before and you may not have sent that? Exactly. There we go. All right. So today we are going to have 2 weeks in this series, today and next week. And today we're going to talk about teaching us to pray. And next week we're going to talk about how to live a lifestyle of prayer. Sound good? Pinch the person next to you. Make sure they're awake. No, don't pinch them. All right. So here we go. Our theme verse for this is this one. It should be a familiar one. It comes from 1 Thessalonians, and it says this. Everybody join with me. Rejoice always. Let's do that first two words again. Ready?
Rejoice always.
Now say it like you mean it. Ready?
Rejoice always.
There we go.
Pray continually.
And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, how do I pray continually? Does that mean when I'm riding down the road, I shut my eyes and go, oh, Lord, please just get me there. Hallelujah, I'm going to go here. Or does that mean you're always, like, bowing everywhere you go and you're just kind of having people lead you around? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we always have to keep our hands folded wherever we go in deep prayer. It's not the posture here. It means in every situation in life, we need to be bathed and covered in prayer, and we need to pray first. Everybody say pray first. Say pray first. Because here's what happened. Prayer should be our first reaction, not our last possibility. Let me say that again. Prayer should be our first reaction, not our last possibility. Most of us live life that we go ahead and we do things and we have them, and then all of a sudden, when we act, Then after we act, we say, God, I need you. Anybody with me in that boat there? That's what we do. And so really what we got to look at is prayer should be our first reaction, not our last possibility. If we look at this, one of the things that I want to say, and I kind of just want to get a little bit serious. I want to pull back a little bit. Our world is, there's a lot of cool things about our world, but when we really look at our world, we have a lot of mess. You know what I mean? We have a lot of turmoil, a lot of disagreement, a lot of hatred, a lot of stuff that just does not make sense. Does not make sense, anymore. Whether it's, I always loved watching when I was a kid, Action News out of Channel 6 out of Philadelphia. And they would come on and they would say, they would always say something that was kind of happy. And they'd say, but the big story on Action News is this person got shot. This person died. This person happened here. Only unless there was like a big other positive event would they take that place. And a lot of times, I kind of feel like that's how we live life, that we kind of lift and we have these interesting things in our life, but we get down to the point and we just have these negative situations in our life. There's just so many senseless acts in the midst of life. And what we do need is prayer continually in our lives. When we look at our world, we have some of the most vile, immoral, hate-filled things occurring. And in many ways, I feel like we as Christians spend our time, as a friend of mine used to say, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. That we go ahead and we just move stuff around, but we feel like it's all sinking as we're here. And so what I want to do is, when we look at our world and we begin to pray, I want to look at 2 Chronicles. It's a famous verse. We use it in many ways. But look at what the Lord says here. It's in your bulletin as well. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, that it's dry, that it's arid, it's missing. And that's not only in just physical rain, but when I shut up the heavens so that it's just dry of morality and dry of God's word and all kinds of things. When I shut those things up and command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. In other words, when everything around you is bad, listen to what it says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? Humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Isn't it interesting that God kind of plays with them and plays with us? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Because what we tend to do most of the time, I'm not saying we don't need action, but I'm saying most of the time we get involved in action and try to do something before we pray if it's God's will. He says, if you humble yourself before God and you pray, then I will hear from heaven and then I will heal your land. And so many of us are cautious when it comes to prayer. So many of us are cautious in these areas. I remember as a kid, we used to have, whether it was Sunday school or it was youth group, we would go ahead and we'd stand around and we'd hold hands. Anybody do this? You'd hold hands in the prayer circle, and the first person would start, the teacher would start, and she'd go ahead and she'd say, okay, he would say, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to squeeze the hand next to me, and then you're going to go ahead, and if you want to, you pray, and then you keep squeezing the hands going around. Anybody know anything about this? Well, I always remembered it was key where you were in the circle, because if you started off, the first person had it easy. They would talk about family and school, and they'd squeeze. Next person would talk about, something in the world. And then you start getting nervous because all the stuff you're going to pray about, so they've already done, and you feel like you're cheating if you go ahead and lift those things up, and you're panicking. So basically what ends up happening, it got to be like a break dance where people go, hand, amen, right? And that's how, anybody remember those days, all right? Because you didn't know what to pray for. Now I got to tell you, this is going to shock you. I am never at loss for words. Ever in my life, I am never at a loss for words. But why is it at times when I pray, I can't find out what to say? Why is it that at times we just kind of miss this and we're so cautious? It's like the little girl who, her mother had people over for dinner that night, and her mom's saying, now maybe you can say the grace tonight. She's like, no, I don't want to. I'm really nervous about it. And she was trying to make all these excuses for not saying prayer. So she gets to the table finally, and she goes, honey, it's time. Would you please say the prayer? And had all these guests there, and she's sitting there, and she goes, Mom, she tried to start using this. She said, just say what mommy says. She goes, okay. And she said, dear God, why in the world did I invite these ungrateful, disgusting people to my house? Some of us are so afraid when it comes to prayer that we are going to say something that is wrong. Am I right? We're afraid that we're going to get our hair parted by a lightning bolt, that if we use the wrong language or we use the wrong saying or we do the wrong thing. But I got to tell you, as I said, during those Sunday school days, there were times when I could pray, but I didn't really like it. And I got to tell you, even after a pastor, there were times, because I have this like thing, I haven't been diagnosed, but people have told me, I'm a little bit all over the place, little ADHD all kind. I know that's shocking too, shocking points today. And with me all over the place, getting still before God and speaking is a little bit hard for me. And at times, I really didn't like it in my life. Because I've got stuff to do. I'm one of those people who will sit down and pray and I start to focus on God and then I'm thinking about what I need for lunch. Then I'm thinking about what's going on in the noise. Anybody like me? Your mind wanders. And I got to keep bringing myself back in. Got to keep bringing myself back in. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to pray. And sometimes I'm just mad and I don't want to pray. Anybody there? You know, it's crazy in our life. That we even teach our kids these really demented prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake. You're teaching a little kid. Hey, if you die, it's okay. Good job. Good night, honey. Right? And then what we're doing, that's a little weird. Anybody think that's a little weird? I think that's a little bit weird. We're telling people, if you die, it's okay. Good night. Have a good night, honey. Shut the lights off. You know, we got to freak them out a little bit. But we all have many excuses not to pray. It's like the man who, he kind of came to church on Christmas and Easter a lot, and he was in church one day, and the pastor saw him, and he's like, well, I'm going to stand in the door so I can shake my hand with him. And the man was there, and it was Easter Sunday, and he came, and he said, son, you need to be in the Lord's army. He said, well, I am. And he said, well, how come I only see you on Christmas and Easter? And he said, shh, I'm in the Secret Service. We all have excuses for why we can't pray. We all make excuses of lots of things all the time. And today what I want to do is I want to help you get over, and through this series, help you get over the excuses to prayer and learn how to embrace prayer in an awesome way. So here we go. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Jesus is with his disciples, and it says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now, we'll tell you next week, we're going to deal with Jesus in a certain place. We're going to talk about the certain place for prayer. And his disciples came up to him when he had finished and said, Lord, what do they say? Teach us to pray. Now, I got to tell you, these were good Jewish boys. They were bar mitzvahed. They knew how to pray. They could rip off Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam with the best of them. They knew how to pray. They went to synagogue. They probably in Hillel house. They knew how to pray. They knew how to pray. So why did they ask Jesus, teach us to pray? Because they saw him pray and said, teach us to pray like that. There's something different about the way you pray. There's something powerful in the way you pray. And we don't get that. We don't get that. But God, teach us to pray. And so Jesus responds with the Lord's Prayer, which is very interesting. Because the wow moment, the power that they had with looking at him and saying, teach us to pray like that. We have taken and made it a rote prayer once again. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is, right? And we get, whether we debts or trespasses and all those kind of things, depending on where we are, right? Where we get to those things. But we took this powerful prayer and we've made it something rote that we can just, that we just memorize and rip off and don't even think about it and repeat it. But really the translation says from Jesus, in this manner, you should pray. Not pray like this. It really, in the Greek, says, in this manner is how you should pray. What Jesus is saying, these are the headlines. These are the topics that you need in your prayers. This is what you need to cover in your prayers. Not exactly. It's okay that we pray that. Don't get me wrong. But I want to tell you, the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a prayer. The Lord's Prayer is an outline of prayer life. Okay? So we're going to talk about that today. There were seven things that Jesus was covering in this prayer. And he covers them in Luke chapter 11 and also in Matthew chapter 6. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6 here. Okay? Everybody good? Come on. Gotta be ready. Here we go. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Number 4, give us this day our daily bread. Number 5, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Number 6, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Number 7, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And so what Jesus is using is this as a pattern for prayer. And your challenge this week is to take this little bulletin right here, fill it in, and take it and use it as part of your prayer life. All right? So I'm giving you homework this week. Everybody looked at the person and said, "You better do your homework. God's watching." All right. Here we go. All right, so this is not a topic of scripture that is different to us, but let's look at some of these seven topics, our headlines. Number 1, what is our first one here? Everybody together. Our Father in heaven. Let's do it again. All right, our Father in heaven. What Jesus is saying here is he wants us to connect to God relationally. He wants us to have a relationship with God, not formally. One of the biggest challenges to our prayer life has been that we approach God in a way where we feel very removed from God. I don't know about you. I've heard people give these magnificent, give all these kind of like, you know, things that just seem like God is so far away. And I'm actually going to tell you, most of our Bibles are poor translations here. It says, "Our Father." It technically, the term is Abba, which means daddy. You know the difference between, my kids don't come up to me and go, "Good morning, Father. How are you? Father, may I please go out? Father, may I have money?" They might try that to guess up one day. But you know, Father is a term that for them seems kind of distant to me. You know what I mean? They usually call me, "Hey, Daddy. Daddy. Hey, Dad. Daddy. Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Daddy. Daddy." When they're little, "Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Daddy, Daddy." And that's just like when they're 17. So, but those things happen. You know, they call me Daddy. There's an intimate relationship with my children there. And I understand them and I have this relationship with them. There is an informal and a formal mix together to the fact that when they say Daddy, they're not far removed. You see, we need to begin our prayers in saying, "Father, Daddy." You may think that's weird. I was at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting down in Baltimore. For you Ravens fan, I think Matt Stover was there that week, that time, and he was there. And so we were sitting there, and I remember this kid got up, inner city African-American young man, stood up and gave the closing prayer. And he started, and he said, "Hey, Dad." And it just like, it weirded out all the churchy people, but it was so powerful because he had such an intimate relationship with his God. "Dad, I just want to tell you." And then it just flowed from who he is. So start talking to him like that. You know, my kids, again, today will be ones that if I'm in somewhere, I'll get a knock on the door. Sometimes they'll just open up and say, "Hey, Dad, Daddy." Right? They might say something like that. They make an effort to connect to me relationally. And I do the same thing. If they call me or text me, I can tell you, if I get a call from something or a text and I don't know what the number is, or if I get something and sometimes it says, "Hello, sir, I need to speak to you. You've won lots of money from some Indonesia or someplace." I don't pay much attention to that. But if I get something that says, "Hey, Daddy, I need to ask you something," I immediately look at that. I want to know that. Why? Because we have this intimate relationship together. All right. Look at what it says here in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says here, "You have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves." If you fear God in the point, and I'm not talking about reverence, I'm saying if you are afraid of God and you feel like you have to be a slave, you have got a mixed up opinion of who God is. Because you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children, and now we get to call him what? Everybody together. Oh, you got to be better than that. We get to call him what? We get to say, yo, daddy. Awesome. Daddy. Daddy. Because of who he is and because of his spirit with me. So our Father, we get to connect relationally. Relationally. God desires to get close to you. Just like I want to be close to my children, God desires to be close to his children. God is not just about us sending him a list of our wants and our needs. God is not just about when we're in trouble or when we're worried, going ahead and coming to him. If the only relationship I had with my kid, if the only time I ever had when they talked to me was when they needed money, when they needed gas, when they needed something, how do you think I'd feel? I'd feel unloved. I'd feel uncared for. I'd feel used. And so we need to approach God in all things. Number two. Everybody ready for number two? Everybody ready for number two? There we go. Okay, everybody together. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed, that's an interesting statement. Hallowed, where we get our term Halloween, All Hallowed's Eve. It means the holy. Holy is your name. We just sang. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. That's what we just sang together. In other words, we need to worship God's name. Everybody say worship God's name. Worship God's holy name. There are several names of God, and we are limited by our language that we refer to God as God. We may say Lord, but we go Lord God. We have just a few names. When I tell, like for instance, the name carries power with it. The name of Jesus has power and authority and dominion and all those other kind of words you want to use. Like for instance, this has happened before, I'm using my kids a lot today, but if I go ahead and say, if I want my kids to clean up, and they go upstairs, and just in their own nature, they say, hey, you need to go downstairs. The other ones go, who are you talking to? It's mostly Hannah, I think. Who are you talking to? She cocks her little hip. I'm not doing that. But if I say, get down here, what are they going to do? If they go up and say, Daddy wants you right now, what happens? They come down eventually, you know, and I say, go get him again. They come down. Daddy wants you. What? Yes, Daddy. What? Well, that's their fault. Is that, you know, we get that. But what I'm saying is, if it's left up to each other to get each other to do something, they ain't doing nothing. Sometimes it's bad enough when Melissa and I are telling them to do stuff. But I'm telling you, when the authority comes down and I say, if you want to do anything, if you want to see 14, 15, or 16, you better get yourself down here now. Man, boom, they're there. If you want to go anywhere, if you want to have your keys, if you want your phone, if you want to be on Xbox, if you want me to cut off your life forever, just go ahead and don't listen to me. Any parents with me? All right? There is an authority by the position that I have as their daddy. See where I'm going here? There is an authority in the name of Jesus that we just don't embrace to the nature it needs to be. There is power. There is authority. It says that the name of Jesus, all hell shudders. All hell shudders. My kids, where they go, carry my name. And I've told them before, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Any parents? You're representing me when you walk out this door. Don't do that. All right? When we walk in this world, we represent our daddy. We got to stop messing up his name. I think the Christians have sometimes been the most non-loving people in the world to others. And that somehow we got to dogma more than love. And we've given our daddy a bad name in this whole thing. Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. In the Message version, it says, God's name is a place of protection. The righteous man can run there and be safe. There's safety in the name of Jesus. There are so many names for the Jewish people for God. There is, you guys remember that one song, El Shaddai? I used to think I Shall Die was the name of the song, but El Shaddai, and there's Jehovah Jireh. There's several different names. So here's what I want to do. This is one of the things that I really believe God wants us to do, to begin to embrace his names and who he is. So here's a list I'm going to put up here, and I'm going to explain some of them for you. It's not in your bulletin. But that God, you are the righteousness. You are righteousness. In other words, you make me clean. You take that sin that I have and you remove it away. You are my sanctifier. I am called and I am set apart. You are my healer. You heal my diseases. You heal my mind. You heal my body. You heal my spirit. You heal all that I am. You are my conqueror. You have already defeated the enemy, and you're going to defeat him every day. You are my shepherd, which means that you are going to guide me. And as I know from the scripture in John, that you know me and I know your voice when I stay close to you. You are my peace in the chaotic world. That if everything else is falling apart, that no matter what else is going on, I can have peace in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You are my provider. That, yes, God, I'm blessed by you, but I know that everything comes from you. And here, I love this last one. There. There. That God, you are there. Jesus, when Moses went to say, who should I tell Pharaoh who sent me? He said, I am what I am. I'm Popeye. Popeye God. I am what I am. Right? That I am. If you go to the depths of the earth or you go to the highest heavens, I'm there. So I want to tell you something right now. Wherever you have been on your journey with Christ, wherever you are right now, online, you could be just tripped on this place. Wherever you are, God is there. And some of you need to just claim, God, you're there. You're there. You're there, and I need that in my life. Next one. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Notice that there's two yours here. That's there. Before you ask God, before we ask ourselves, because a lot of times, I don't know about you, I'm so hell-bent, or heaven-bent, I guess I'd say, on getting my prayer answered, that I go to God and I say, hey, God, I love you. Hey, by the way, I need this. You know what I'm going through. Anybody else with me in that boat? Let's look at this. The first thing that we need to do here is we need to pray God's agenda first. We need to pray God's agenda first. In other words, God has a prayer list. Did you know that? God has a prayer list. You want to know what it is? It's really simple. Somebody needs to might write this down, but here's God's prayer list. Others. God wants us to pray for others. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the what? World. Notice it doesn't say believers. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. That means that God cares and loves others so much, and so he wants you to love others as well. That's why we need to pray for the homeless. That's why we need to pray for the Middle East. That's why we need to pray for our government. That's God's priorities are this. He wants to pray for those who are lost, who don't know him, the world. He wants us to pray for those who are in authority. As I said, government, parental authority, spiritual authority, and even that boss who drives you absolutely insane at work. Start praying for him. All right? And then pray for his will to be in us. I want to show you something. I like to give people updates. And I'll tell you this, we talked to after church, we're going to get an update on the Haiti trip. But I want to show you something that's really, really touched my heart this week. Go ahead. What you see here is you see a sign that they painted that they are Haven Community Church Haiti, which is really, really cool. But I want to show you a couple other things that's there. I didn't show the sound system that they're working out. There's a couple of us who are really glad that they have this. Right, John? That is a well, and that is a pump that they were able to buy because of your gifts to them, because of our church's ministry and support to our sister church in Haiti, right? Up until this point, to get water, they had a large tow rope with a knot in it that had a 5-gallon bucket on it that we had contests who could pull it up the fastest, right, John? And we did that. And every time they needed something, we mixed cement. And you know, anybody know cement needs a lot of water? Every time you needed water to fill up a big drum, you had to go ahead and pull it up that way. You know, I hear a lot about churches changing lives and about God changing lives. This is a life change. This is a community that's changed because of your giftedness and because you continually pray and care for others. That's of the heart of God. Haven Community Church Haiti, which still blows my mind, is on God's prayer list. Pastor Oog was praying, and we were praying for God to do something, and now you have changed an entire community, and this is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. I think that's awesome. I think God is awesome in that, because others are important to God. And when we put our eyes on others and not on ourselves, God wants to hear that first. He wants to hear that first. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to who? You as well. But first, we got to put God first and others first. Everybody with me? Everybody okay? All right. Here we go. Luke 12 tells us this in the Living Bible. Luke 12, verse 31 says, he will always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Focus on your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray for the others. I don't know about you, but our government and our world needs prayer. And instead of arguing, because we're not getting anywhere, pray for our officials, pray for our president, pray for our Congress. I don't care what party you are. Pray for our local government. Pray for our state government. Those people need prayer, all of them, because God wants us to do that. Pray for your school board. Pray for your people at work. Pray, 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 pray. If you don't know what to say, start by praying for everybody else. I guarantee you, you can fill it up really quickly. Pray for others. Pray for others. Next one. Give us this day our daily bread. For those of you who are fasting, that sounds really good right now, doesn't it? Daily bread. So now, you see, we prayed for others. We've done these other things. Now guess who I get to pray for? Me. Give me some daily bread. Give me what I need. Every day we need to pray for something that we need. And I'm going to tell you, do it every day. And you say, well, Jack, some days I don't need anything. Pray anyway for it. Pray anyway for it. Because what begins to happen when we don't pray for God for what we need every single day, we begin to think that everything we have is because of us and that we only go to God when we need something. And it creates a bad pattern of prayer. So we need to continually go, God, hey, I'm coming to you. I want to thank you for this. I need this. I want you to do some awesome things in my life. It tells God that we have full dependence on him. And that's why we pray first. What are we doing here? That we need to depend on God for everything. Everything. In a moment's notice, every single thing we have. I don't care what your bank account is. I don't care what your work status is. I don't care who you are. In a moment's notice, every single thing can be gone. Every single thing that we put our hope and trust and love in can be gone in a moment's notice. So we need to thank God and we need to ask him each and every day for providing those things. Look at what it says here in Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. And the mountains was the place, the seat of government in Israel. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And he says, no, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The government, everything's really good in Israel, but they say, ultimately, my help, everything comes from God, my daily bread. All right, here we go. Here's the fun one. You ready for the fun one? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts. In other words, there's two parts to this here. We need to get our heart right with God, and here's the other one, with others. Get our heart right with God and with others. In other words, what we're doing here, how do I get my heart right with God? I think a lot of times we go ahead and when we begin praying and we're at this point, we pray for others, we ask for what we need, and then we go ahead and say, God, search me. I love the prayer, search me and see if there's any offensive way in me. Do you ever shocked sometimes that you offend people? Anybody ever offended somebody? Anybody got a mouth that works before your brain? Who's got a mouth before your brain? Anybody sitting next to somebody who's got it and they're just too afraid to raise their hand? All right. So anybody has to go or are scared to go out in public with those people? All right. A lot of times we just say things before we think about it. And I do a lot. I remember, this is kind of a football joke, but I remember one time I think I might have told this before, but my dad had the bishop coming over. And my dad had the bishop. And it was Bishop Wirtz, and he was a main bishop of the United Methodist Church. And he was speaking at Northeast United Methodist Church, where my father was a pastor at the time. The bishop came in, and you know, this is the person who has the power to move you and do all this kind of stuff. And so there's like this authority that's there. And so we were told to be on our best behavior. And so they sat down to eat, and we were sitting there at the table, and we had Jill, me, Mom, Dad, Bishop Wirtz and his wife, and he was showing me his Little League ring, and Jill's boyfriend at the time was there as well. And so we're sitting there, and after we're eating for a while, Bishop Wirtz says to Jill's boyfriend at the time, so Dan, what position do you play in football? And Dan says, tight end. To which Jack goes, Danny, that's a good position for you. Get it? Tight end? I was talking about his butt. All right? My dad went, Jill decided to look at me and go, and she made it worse. She was laying on the couch in the other room. My parents are mortified. I'm just grinning like, all right? My dad was afraid he was going to get sent to someplace south of Pocomoke City or somewhere. He was scared to death. And at that, the bishop's wife looked at me and she says, Jack, you sure do enjoy life, don't you? And I said, works for me. I still do that in life, all right? I still open my mouth first. And Melissa goes, Jack, that's what I get now, right? I get Jack, right? The kids kind of laugh, and then she says, Jack, am I right? So I am not the most divine person at times because my mouth works before me. But I can tell you, and I've said this before, I will let people down as a pastor. I will let you down because I'm only a human one person. I will let you down. All right, there you go. That's your message. Hey, pastor told me he's going to let me down. I'm letting you know that right away. But I can tell you, I will also lay my life down for you. Okay, because that's what Jesus did for me. And I can tell you, I have had people in ministry that I could give you a long, long list of people that fire and brimstone comes the first thing to my mind in my life. And many of those people have been in the church. Anybody with me? I found out that some of the most nasty people I've ever met in life call themselves Christians. And I'm looking forward to Judgment Day. No, see, I'm sorry. I'm not looking forward to... Sorry, did I say that? I told you I talked first. When I go through that pain, I've gone through that suffering, I've had people wrong me. When I am somebody who wants to lay my life down for people, and because I love people unconditionally, that opens me up to be hurt at many times. And so when you get hurt, you want somebody to pay, am I right? Anybody had somebody you love hurt and you want them to pay? You ever been hurt and you want some justice? You say, God, come on. Old Testament now. Come on, God. But then what I realized is he says, forgive. That's as you have forgiven me. So what it tells me there is all that stuff I want, God says, really, do you want that? Because I don't want that for you, Jack. So you can't want it for them because they're my kids too. Remember back before, I also loved the world. Yeah, that person who has that mouth, that person who's nasty, that person who stabs you in the back, that person who talks about you, that person who does that, I love them too. You're a mess too, Jack. Forgive. Get your heart right with God. That's the first thing. It's amazing how when you pray to God, God, search me, that a lot of things start coming up to the surface and you realize that there's some stuff you got to deal with. God continually is dealing with stuff in my life because I'm not perfect. And then ultimately, the last part of that is for others. Forgive others. Sometimes we just need to write a forgiveness list. Sometimes we just got to write it down. Sometimes we just got to go ahead and say, I want to forgive this person, that person, this person, that person, this person. Then afterwards, sometimes you get out of bed and you got to say, I know somebody's going to offend me today, God. I know somebody is going to just be nasty to me. I know somebody's going to hurt me, and I'm going to have to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them in advance. And when they do something to you, you say, awesome, good, I'm good, because you've already forgiven them. Isn't it good to be forgiving somebody even before they do something? Hey, guess what? When you leave here and you get on that road, somebody's going to take you off. Somebody's going to cut you off. When you go in Walmart, somebody's going to butt in that line. Somebody's going to steal something for you. Somebody's going to be a Patriots fan today. Hi, Laura. And it's going to offend me. I forgive her. Because I love her. All right, you with me? Forgive in advance. Forgive in advance and see what God does. Check your heart and your motives. You see, that's what I believe this 15 minutes that I talked about, the first 15 where we pray and get in the Word of God and worship, it's so important for us to do. Look at what it says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is what? Faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Next one. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a bad translation in every Bible that you have, because it actually means this. Because God does not lead us into temptation. God does not tempt us. God does not take us into temptation. It's a scripture. It needs to interpret scripture. What it actually, the translation is, do not allow me to be led into temptation. How many of you recognize that each and every day you are going to be tempted? Each and every single day, something is going to happen in your life. How many recognize that if you haven't already, that you're going to sin today? And there's something. You're going to miss the mark of what God has intended. In other words, you're going to say, God, I know that stuff's going to hit me, and I'm just asking for your help to get away from it. And I got to tell you, I heard a pastor one time who was talking about a young man who got into some situations, and he was in an area, and he was telling the pastor, he's like, why did you do it? He said, well, I was standing there, and he said, Pastor, I know, while I was in the midst of the situation, I began to pray, and I was praying in my mind, and I was still there, and next thing I know, this thing happened. And he said, son, don't you read scripture? Sometimes it says resist the devil and flee. He said, that means pick up your legs and run away from it. Don't just stand there and go, oh God, please don't let this me happen in here. And you're right in the middle of the situation. Run. Run for it. Run for us. Get away from it, right? Get away from it. I need God to help me get away from it. And so what I need to do in this one, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, I need to engage in spiritual warfare. I need to engage in spiritual warfare. This is not something that is popular to talk about in the church today. But guess what? Satan is working harder to destroy you than you are working to combat him. I'm going to say that again because we all need to hear that. Satan is working harder to destroy you than you and I are working to combat him in our lives. So we need to engage in spiritual warfare. In Ephesians chapter 6, here's what the verse says in Ephesians chapter 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, there is a battle for your soul. There is a battle around you. And yes, the world has its own problems, but when we look in the heavenly realms, we're going to win this. Because Jesus has already won the battle. We're just in the midst of cleaning it up. He's just in the midst of cleaning up. And we need the name of Jesus because each and every day, Satan hates the fact that you love Jesus. He hates the fact every day that you have sided yourself with Christ and he wants to destroy you. Peter wrote, he is a roaming lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty might. And the strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devils. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers. We read that one. Therefore, in verse 13, it says, take up the full armor of God. Stand firm then, having girded your loins. You know what girded your loins is? You ever tried to run with your pants around your legs? You don't get very far. When you're getting ready for a fight, you ever seen somebody? They're like, let's go. Get your pants ready. All right, gird up your loins. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, covering your heart. Our heart takes on so much. Cover your heart with the fact of God. And having shod your feet. Anybody know what shod means? Hey, good job. That's the past tense of shoes. Get some shoes on your feet. Nobody's going into battle with bare feet. All right, so put shoes on your feet. And what are your shoes? The gospel of peace and your feet in readiness. In addition to all, taking the shield of faith, which you're able to extinguish so your faith gets rid of all those attacks, and take the helmet of salvation. In other words, Joyce Meyer wrote a great book called The Battlefield of the Mind, that our mind is constantly attacked by Satan. You feel depressed. You feel useless. You feel worthless. You feel a pain. You feel suffering. All that stuff occurs in your mind. Remember, we were talking about the last couple weeks, what we think is we do work it out here before it becomes action in our lives. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. There it is again. And then we take with us one single weapon, which is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's, we are in spiritual warfare. We need it, and we need to use the name of Jesus. Last one. Are you ready? Everybody ready for the last one here? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What does that mean? It is all about you, Jesus. We go back to him. We wrap it back up. Hey, thanks for all this, but it's all about you. Your kingdom, guess what, God? It's your rule and reign. Your power, everything flows from you. The strength, the way to get up and have breath in my life, it all comes from you. And ultimately, yours is the glory. What does that mean? Yours is the glory. It means that we need to, at all times, declare faith in God's greatness. That he has the victory. the victory is the Lord. Jeremiah 32, these are two great verses to write in your Bible or wherever you're going to pray and have down. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. And let me ask you this. Is this a great way to finish your prayer that you're dumping all this stuff out there? And this verse right here, nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing is too hard for you. Isn't it nice to know that nothing is too hard for God? And then the last thing, to him who sits on the throne from Revelation 5, and the Lamb be praised and honor, glory, and power forever and ever. Everybody says, amen. That's how we pray. Let's pray. Praise team, you can come on up. Lord God, we just thank you. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your love. We thank you that you taught us the way to pray, that God, our prayer can go ahead and be vibrant and be strong and lead us to areas that we need. Daddy, our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thank you for being our righteousness and our sanctifier and our healer. And right now at this time, God, I'm calling on that. Be our healer, God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God, your agenda first, as it is in heaven. God, we pray for others. We pray for our daily bread. Help us to forgive those against us. Help you search our hearts. Help us recognize your kingdom lasts forever and ever. And may we proclaim that in each area of our life in displaying that. God, protect our minds, protect our hearts, protect our life, and let us put on the full armor of God. You are an incredible God. And God, I pray as we are in this season of prayer and fasting, reveal to us and search our hearts and our lives to bring to the surface what you would have for us. And so God, as we enter this time of prayer, as we all begin to stand and just feel your presence, God, just move in a mighty way. Touch our hearts like you never have before. Help us know you. Help us know our daddy. If we haven't started any of this, and this prayer is just like we've just been, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and we just kept ripping through it, God, that right now we may know our daddy. Start with square one and just say, I need to know my daddy. We might have some brokenness in our lives, and God, in the scripture, the altar is the place where we put a sacrifice, death, so that there may be healing and restoration. So God, whatever's going on in our hearts and our minds, I pray that we open up to this altar here today. That there's people here that will come alongside of us and pray. And we'll hear the shepherd's voice calling our hearts, whispering in our ears. That life may be chaotic, but we have a Prince of Peace. We need you right now, God. In your name we pray. Amen. The altar's open for you. Please come. Please, everybody, stand as we worship the Lord during this time.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen.
And come just as you are, won't you come? You're never too far, you can come. All who are weary and heavy laden, come. His burden is light, won't you?
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you.
Just sitting here, it just kind of, God just gave me something, I think for all of us, is just draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Sometimes you just feel things. We talked about spiritual warfare, and sometimes I just really kind of believe that we are so caught up in what's around us that we forget who's around us. And so the scripture just says, draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to you. You know, one of the things that I didn't mention that just popped in my head was when my kids were little, particularly when they were hurting, sometimes they just wanted to, they would just come and climb up in my lap. Anybody remember that as parents? You know, Jacob's almost 20 now. He doesn't come do that now, thank God. But you know what? And I just thought of a time where I was going through a really big struggle, and I was at my grandmother's house. She was in her 90s. I was in my 30s. And I remember I was just really, really, really upset. I was married. I was a professional, blah, 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 all that stuff. And I was really upset. And I remember this 90-year-old woman came over and just wrapped her arms around me and hugged me. Right. What she told me in that point, I'm never too old to be loved by my grandmother. I'm never too old to be loved by my parents. You are never too old and never have too much going on in your life. And sometimes you don't just need to turn to your daddy and I'm just wrap his arms around you. But you gotta draw near to Him. You gotta draw near to Him. You gotta let the stuff go down and draw near to Him. You got to quit acting like you got it all together, because you don't, because neither do I. You just got to draw near to Him. Draw near to Him. Draw near to Him. All right? That wasn't in anything. That's just from God. And He just wants you to draw near to Him today. All right? Have an awesome week. What we're going to look at is next week, we're going to continue the series. We've learned how to. Now it's going to be living on the prayers. We're going to talk how to live life every day as people of prayer. All right? Have a great week. And everybody but Laura, pray for the Eagles.